I'm Ebony K. Williams, attorney and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the latest legal headlines that everybody's already talking about. But we dig deep into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down, going straight from gavel to your newsfeed. And every week, we keep it 100. Right, Dustin?
That's right, E. Let's hold court.
All right, Dustin Ross, we're going to get straight to it on this one.
Okay.
Because it's a packed docket, and I really want to spend some time with this first case.
Mm-hmm.
So this was sent to me by our dear friend, Dr. David Johns.
Dr. David Johns. You better, we put a handle on that one.
Doctor.
The good doctor, David Johns. Shout out to David Johns.
Because he earned that.
Okay?
Okay.
David Johns don't play.
At all.
He don't fuck around, and I love that about him.
I love that he goes
straight to the target with it, okay?
To the white meat.
Right. Cuts down to the white meat.
To the bone.
And we need that.
To the marrow.
Yes, that's right.
So Dr. David Johns sent me this one, and I loved it. This is a woman who ended up choking out her own lawyer in court. And Dr. David Johns talking about, does she have a case? I love it. So we're going to answer.
A head case.
So we're going to take that one on. Also, this one spoke to me because it represents something I speak a lot about in my new book, Bet on Black.
The good news.
The good news.
Okay.
About being black in America today. And that is bringing all of who you are everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
So state legislator in Tennessee, Representative Justin Pearson, he took that very literally. And I love it.
Mm-hmm.
He brought all of who he is to everywhere he went, including a dashiki to his first day at work in the legislature. So we're going to talk about it.
Yep.
Shout out to the good statesman.
That's right.
And then we're going to end the show with a cautionary tale of a young woman who did not do what you tell the good people to do every week on this show. Dustin?
Read your terms and your conditions,
that
please.
Part. And y'all, we don't just end the show with that because it's fun, although it is funny and cute when Dustin says it. But he's really giving you some true tea.
Mm-hmm.
So this young black woman did not read her terms nor her conditions, Dustin, and she has found herself now on the cover of all of these erotic adult themed books. Did you see the cover?
Yes, I
did.
Oh,
my God.
I don't mean to laugh. But,
like, fake God Fabio. Damn, she's out here looking real bad, y'all. She out here looking real bad, and also breast reduction ads, and it's legal.
Mm-hmm.
The point of this is it's all legal. And and she's embarrassed because she didn't read her terms and conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully someone has put her on to holding court and now she will do better.
She got, I would hope at this point.
All right. So let's start with this woman that choked out her lawyer in court, no less. So this woman, let's start with her original underlying charge.
How about we got to start
with the underlying
charge.
So this woman, her name is Taylor Chavisnes, 25 years old, relatively young woman. This is Green Bay, Wisconsin. All right, cheeseheads.
Okay.
Y'all want to be these cheeseheads. I ain't never been here for Green Bay.
And that's right. Nobody. Well, you know.
Mama Gloria sitting up here with a whole Brett Favre jersey when I was a kid.
She's a Packers fan.
And look how that aged.
Mama Gloria.
Child. Anyway, she always. Anyway. Chavisnes, Miss Chavisnes, 25 years old from Wisconsin, was arrested back in February. This is after Dustin, this is real wild. This is like some made-for-TV shit. Police found a mutilated body. This was of a lover of hers. So this started with a sexual encounter. She ends up strangling the man, allegedly. Mm-hmm. That wasn't enough. She strangles him to death.
That's why I don't play that choke me out shit. If we messing around, we finna mess around. Don't be roughhousing me, goddammit. Because I don't know if you're going to flip like that. Don't play with me like that. You ain't finish a business, me, while we get into the business. No, thank you.
I'm just going to exercise my right to remain silent on that.
So,
Miss Chavisnes.
We ain't going to get in your Chavisnes today.
Right, the fuck out of my Chavisnes, Dustin. I feel judged. Anyway.
At least you alive.
That's
okay.
True, living to tell. Well, yeah. It hits my inactive state of heterosexuality. We all going to end up on Zeus. That's
okay.
What's going to happen. Anyway. It wasn't enough that she strangled this man to death during this sexual encounter. She then cut his body up. Allegedly, she decapitated him, cut the rest of his body up into little pieces, and then put the pieces of this man's body around his own mama's house. It's real wild. It's real wild. It's very much giving Lifetime made-for-TV movie. So, as a result of those alleged crimes, Ms. Chavisnes has been charged with first-degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse, and third-degree sexual assault. She has pleaded not guilty. Not a bust out laughing at not guilty. Come on. You know, so we had to let the system do its thing, Dustin.
What we do, but God damn.
Damn, right. That's real bold. But she's saying she's not guilty. This will make it make more sense for you. Not guilty by reason of mental disease or defect. So she's not saying I didn't do it.
She's just saying I'm crazy.
She's just saying I'm crazy and shouldn't be held accountable.
All right, well, you got to do your thing. You know what I'm saying? You got to say something, I guess.
Let the system play out, yeah. Sis. The reason we're talking about this is because of what happened with the lawyer. But I do want to come back to her plea of not guilty by mental disease and defect. I want to deconstruct that for the jurors. Sure business, she has a defense counsel. His name is Quinn Jolly. Her lawyer, as he should do, has hired an expert, Dustin, to conduct a psychiatric evaluation to determine, this is very important, whether or not she is sufficiently competent to stand trial. That's got to be done on the front end before we can even get to the trial.
Mm-hmm.
Now, previous reports have said, Dustin, that she has been found to be competent by other doctors. But the judge, Thomas Walsh, in this case, has granted the defense counsel, Mr. Quinn Jolly, another 2 weeks so that he can get a new assessment to be completed. And I think I just want to note the judge is probably making a good decision there, because even though these previous two doctors said she was competent, number one, a lot of times state doctors always will find mentally insane people competent for the sake of trial. Remember that line from A Time to Kill?
Yes, Ebony. Wow. You just took me back to A Time to Kill,
That's
Ebony.
It. Another movie I've watched about 50 times.
You talking about a movie to piss me off?
That's it.
Every time I
yes, he deserves
about...
to die. I hope he burns to hell. Okay. Anyway. Sorry. I just had to.
The thespian jumped out.
The thespian. You know, I really was an honors thespian class.
Absolutely.
Don't play with me. But I'm going to come for Miami one day.
That's why you know how to act.
That's
okay.
That's why I know how to act.
That's right. Okay.
Come on now. Anyway, Shabusiness was granted the 2 weeks for the new decision. And this is what's weird, but this might tell me Miss Your Business might know how to act, too.
Okay. Okay.
Following the judge's decision to give her the 2 weeks for the new evaluation, Your Business then lashes out physically against her own lawyer, Mr. Jolly. Looks like she's choking him out and then had to be forced to the ground. What'd you say?
She went the fuck off. Did you
see
that?
She popped off.
I was like...
Boop, boop.
You did everything they said you did, mama.
And it came out of nowhere. It was like, because the ruling is really in her favor.
And she literally jumped on that.
And then she literally jumps up, pounces on her lawyer, choking him out. She then has to be forced to the ground by deputy. It's a mess. Courtroom was cleared out and everything.
Ebony, what do you do in that case?
Oh, I'm going to tell you what the fuck I would do.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I'm going to whoop your ass. I'm just going to tell you. You jump on me.
First of all, it's fight or flight at that point. That's human nature reflex.
Literal self-defense witnessed by everybody in the courtroom.
And he would have been right to do that. Actually, I don't see any... Well, we're going to get to it. So the courtroom was cleared out. Everybody was brought back in. Hearing resumed. Can you imagine the judge like, okay, now...
Right.
He's going to go ahead and put a May 15th trial date on the calendar. So let's back this. This is a lot.
A lot.
So
it's a lot of layers
all the way
here.
Up. Let's start with where you were taking us, Dustin, which is what does the lawyer do in that scenario? And that's essentially what Dr. David John's inquiry was about. You know, basically at this point, does he have a case? Does she have a case? Does he get to recuse himself?
Mm-hmm.
So based off of what I've seen, not only can Attorney Jolly recuse himself now from this, I think he has to.
Yeah.
If I'm the judge. Yeah. There's no way I'm allowing you to stay on as counsel to a client that you are now the victim of. That is an inherent conflict of interest because your ability to do your job has now been compromised. I don't care what you say. That's just innate.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm the judge, if I'm Judge Walsh on this one, I am immediately removing Mr. Jolly as counsel. I'm assigning Ms. Shabusiness new counsel. And then... Mr. Jolly, the attorney, has options. He can file a criminal action against her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it might be for not if she's indeed incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
He can certainly file a civil action against her for assault and try to get some money damages. Now, for some reason, something tells me Miss Your Business is broke.
Yeah, I don't believe there's a...
I don't think there's going to be any recovery there.
I know where to land.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a deep...
That's why she didn't give a fuck and jumped on
right.
him like that.
But she got nothing to lose. That's it. She said, I don't have deep nor pocket.
Okay.
So let's go.
And he said, this motherfucker ain't that crazy.
That's
okay.
It. So that gets me to where I really want to spend some time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know it is in her legal best interest, because she has pleaded not guilty by reason of mental disease and defect, for her to be deemed incompetent.
So that's why she did it.
Let's go underneath the hood a little bit on this one, Brother Dustin. And let's talk about what elements have to be found for you to be deemed mentally incompetent for trial purposes. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that full out like that, y'all, because that is extremely different than being found mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
People go to jail that are mentally ill every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my clients, Dustin, when I was practicing criminal defense work, had some mental deficiency of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they were almost all what we call dual diagnosis. Many of them were abusing substances to help self-medicate around some type of mental illness, normally bipolar and depression. Now, when you start talking about what is required to be found mentally incompetent to stand trial, mentally ill is not enough. Let me be very plain. What you've got to be is mentally incompetent to stand trial. And specifically what they're looking for, Dustin, are elements that prove you are unable to participate in your own defense in a court of law. So I've been at these assessments before with clients.
Mm-hmm.
So they're literally showing, like, they pull out a picture chart and they'll say, who is this? And they want you to say, that's the judge. Then they'll say, who is this? That's whatever, DA, prosecutor, that's the lawyer that's proving that I did what y'all said I did, whatever. And who is this? Well, that's your defense lawyer. The main thing they want to see, Dustin, in these competency hearings, allegedly, is what they say, is they want to see that you can be of value to your own lawyer in helping your defense. And if they see elements that you cannot be of value in your own legal defense, you will likely be found incompetent for the purposes of standing trial. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know a better proof of I can't assist in my own defense.
I knew.
I have a propensity to choke the fuck out of my own defense lawyer. I think that looks like I can't help.
Yeah. She is something else. That's all I can say. She is something else.
Something else.
And I would have been recused myself. I wouldn't want nothing to do with her ass. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You know, it's interesting, though. I mean, again, I don't obviously know this particular lawyer from a can of paint, but sometimes these lawyers really be on one and will almost want to prove their ability to be bigger than that and like, oh, but I'm still ultimately a lawyer at the end of the day, and so I can look past that. And that's why he must be recused.
Like, real.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, absolutely not.
Unless he won another one.
And what Khalid said.
Another one. It didn't look like she was done yet. It looked like she had a little bit more.
She would not have been done, but for that deputy.
And she was finna Julian his ass the way she did that other nigga in the first place that got her in the courtroom.
No,
like,
it was bad. But I don't know about Miss Your Business. It's not lost on me that the very thing that's deeply evaluated in this are you fit for trial or not evaluation, they're really looking for your ability to assist in your defense, and you physically choke out your defense lawyer in open court.
I'd have been like, she competent. She knew what she was doing. Throw the book at her ass. Ain't nothing wrong with her. She's just evil, okay?
So, but what I suspect will happen, I think that now she has put herself in a good position to be found mentally incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
Because the argument goes, Dustin, anybody we put next to her is in peril.
Mm-hmm.
And so if anybody we put next to her to help her in defense of her on this during this trial, the court would be knowingly putting someone in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's, I don't know, she might have played the shit all the way right.
Well, good for her. I just don't want her.
I mean, it's terrible. But I'm just saying, from a strategic point of view,
don't come over here with your knives out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guns blazing.
Get the fuck from around me. But yes, that was smart of her to be crazy.
Yeah. If indeed. And then the other alternative is she could just really be that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible. Either way, what I suspect is going to happen with Miss Your Business is I don't think this will ever see trial. I think that she will be found incompetent. And let me also talk to the jurors, Dustin, about what happens when you are indeed found to be incompetent. Now, it's a relatively rare occasion, mm-hmm. but it happens from time to time. No, you don't go free. Let's clear that up. It's not like, oh, shit, I'm incompetent. Peace. It's not that kind of party. You are then held in custody by the state psychiatric ward hospital. And then you are actually reevaluated periodically. So they don't just, it's not a one-time thing. It could be every 6 months. It could be every year. It could be every 2-3 years I've seen. Mm-hmm. You will always then have to be subject to a reevaluation for them to see if you are competent yet. Because sometimes the treatment that you get while in the facility, mm-hmm. the drugs, mm-hmm. the therapies, can get you to a place of competency. Mm-hmm. That's actually the hope. And if indeed anywhere during that process, Dustin, you are deemed to be competent, they will bring your ass back to trial. Please believe it. I've seen that before,
too.
Take that shit to trial. Mm-hmm. I was actually listening to Take That Shit to Trial, and another great, another goodie, oldie but goodie, is Take Them Five.
Ooh, Take Them Five. Mm-hmm.
There's some really good nuggets in that song.
Okay, I'm going to have to, you know what, I'm going to have to spin that.
Shout out to Juvenile.
Yeah, Juvie. Okay, I'm going to have to spin that.
Oscar Maya.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I really, like, he's really doing the work of the culture mm-hmm. in those particular songs.
Yeah, I love it.
But yeah, so Miss, we'll see what Miss Your Business, you know, how this plays out for her. But
we sure will from afar, because I ain't going to be nowhere near her ass.
From far away.
Okay.
Far, far away. Make me a bird.
Okay.
She will likely be found incompetent, and she will be in somebody's psych ward, I suspect. Which, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't necessarily know if that's like so much better than jail.
Yeah.
But that's just me. All right. Moving on. A brother by the name of Representative Pearson.
Mm-hmm.
He is newly elected to the state legislature in Tennessee. He's filling a special seat that was vacated by Ms. Barbara Cooper. So he's new to the job, Dustin, and he's thinking, you know, just like any of us on our first day of school, we want to swag out.
Mm-hmm.
So Representative Pearson said, what better way to pay homage to who I am and my constituents that I will be representing mm-hmm. than to put on this good dashiki
mm-hmm.
on the first day.
Not mad at it at all.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it.
God damn it.
I love it. And he, you know, which of course, if you don't know what a dashiki is, it's a garment, a top, a shirt, very popular with West Africa and, mm-hmm. and other parts of the diaspora, let's be clear. So he says that wearing the dashiki on the first day and being sworn in, wearing it is paying homage to the ancestors who made this opportunity possible. I love it even more.
Mm-hmm.
I love the intention.
The intention.
Because he's doing here, y'all, what I invite all of us to do mm-hmm. in my new book, Bet on Black.
The good news. Okay.
About being black in America today, available wherever you get your books.
That's right.
And that is figuring out for yourself, not for nobody else. For yourself, whatever your manifestation, your iteration of blackness is, and being unafraid, Dustin, to center that everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
We are done, I submit, as a black people in America today, with making adjustments for white comfort. We are also done, I submit, with making accommodations for collective black approval. We now today, as black people in this great nation, and I submit it can be a great nation.
Right.
On our terms. So if my term is I want to put on a dashiki that honors the legacy and history of West African diaspora and the broader black collective globally, I absolutely get to do that. So I love that this brother Dustin put this dashiki on for his swearing in.
The best kind of disruption. I love all that
shit.
It's
a form of protest, and I love it.
You know how many meetings I sit in and wear my Yankees fitted hat on purpose? On purpose.
I'm really glad you said that, because for Representative Pearson here, mm-hmm. it was a dashiki.
Mm-hmm.
For Dustin Ross, it's a Yankee fitted.
Mm-hmm.
It's an emblem of the culture.
Yep.
For me, you know, it's oftentimes first episode, scene one, day one of Roni, the Exonerated Five.
Wore that on television.
And a rhinestone Black Lives Matter mask.
On television. On a white
day
show.
Day one, first Black Housewife. It's a form of protest, Dustin, that says, I am not going to bring my black ass to Central Park to film this white ass show and not bring all of who I am with me.
Period.
That's what it is.
Oh, you did that multiple times throughout your season of Roni. Multiple times. Your AKA gear.
The AKA gear, the Loyola Law gear.
The Gucci, the Howard gear. Dapper Dan.
The Dapper Dan, that confessional look. That's going to end up in the Smithsonian one day.
Period.
Okay. Yep. You better know that. And the black one, too.
Actually, ellipses, because we're still getting it there. Okay. Yeah. So it's happening.
It's happening. But yeah, that there's no way I'm going to be the black housewife, the first black housewife on Roni, and not honor the legacy of Dapper Dan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, since housewives are all supposed to be about the glitz and the glamour, let's show them the glitz and the glamour. Harlem style.
Hmm.
Global. Anyway.
I'm totally on board for this. I want to go get me a daishiki right now, damn it.
You just know, from, I was just looking for one. This story. I thought I might have had one.
Okay, and one or two in the back somewhere.
I do have some other African garb pieces, but today didn't feel like an African garb ball gown type of day. That's another day.
Which is probably above. Gorgeous I'll on save, you.
But you know what? I wore one to above Clico
mm-hmm,
on
mm-hmm,
purpose.
Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
y'all going to get this black culture.
Yeah.
Y'all are going to get this black centeredness.
I love it.
If I'm invited to the space, my culture is coming with me.
I love it.
Period. Now, let me tell you who didn't love it, though.
Okay.
Republican State Rep David Hawk.
No. A Republican had a problem with this?
No.
Wow.
A white one, too.
Wow.
Wow. But let me tell you the real raggedy shit this particular white Republican did by invoking the legacy of one of the first, well, the first black woman to be in that house to become speaker pro tem. So this was a state legislator. She's passed, long passed. Her name is Lois DeBerry. So Representative DeBerry apparently censored him. See, he got in his feelings. Mm-hmm. I see what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the black sister, Representative DeBerry, scolded him one time because he did not have on a coat and tie during the General Assembly. So Auntie DeBerry swatted that hand. And so this white Republican, Representative Hawk, says that in the memory of honoring the great woman who was Lois DeBerry, I want to say that how we look and how we treat each other and how we give the respect we hope to get back, which is basically shade. He's taking a shot.
That's exactly what he's doing.
At Brother Pearson's dashiki choice.
And blaming it on a woman who's passed away.
And trying to tether it, Dustin, to the legacy of a great black woman who was historic. That's a
dirty,
real
dirty shit.
Manipulative, trifling move.
Mm-hmm.
And you see white supremacy do that a lot, where they'll find an opportunity to connect it to a great black American, and then they'll pervert
that exact legacy.
That exact legacy. They do it with Frederick Douglass all the time.
Oh, my God.
They better leave Douglass alone, because I'll fight over Douglass.
Hell
you know that.
And Frederick Douglass was ready to fight anyway. You saw his hair. Frederick Douglass said, I'm going to get the boy. Wait a minute, goddamn.
Let me tell you something about Frederick Douglass' hair real quick, because when I've transitioned to a full-on keratin treatment, and so when my treatment time is near, I my hair looks a lot like Frederick Douglass. I'm going to just be honest with you, Dustin. So I am even more tethered to Brother Douglass today than I was yesterday.
Okay.
But then after I get that treatment, it's giving Jermaine Jackson.
And that's fine.
Victory Laid. Tour. Victory
okay.
tour.
Laid.
Okay. I just had to put that out there. Now, so Brother Pearson and the other Democrats said, rightfully, mm-hmm. that they believe Hawk was wrong to criticize him on the House floor, no less. You know, that's like that public shaming of a black man for being black.
Yeah.
We don't like that. And so he said this on Twitter. This is Brother Pearson. A white supremacist has attacked my wearing of a dashiki. Resistance and subversion to the status quo ought to make some people uncomfortable. That's right, Brother Pearson.
He's doing all the right things.
And he's playing the game better than they've tried to play it.
Yep.
It's such a win. It's such a win. Now, this was their response. Tennessee House Republicans said this. If you don't like the rules, perhaps you should explore a different career opportunity that's main purpose is not creating them. Actually, no.
That's what they want in the first place. They don't want him out of there.
Right. But actually, they misspoke, because all Brother Pearson has to say, and I'm sure he can say it without saying it, that's exactly why he's there.
Yeah.
He's there to say these rules are antiquated.
Yeah.
These rules center whiteness and white comfort and white fragility. And that's exactly why I've been elected to be your peer, Representative Hawk. so that I can help update and change these rules so that they represent something that is more encompassing of what professional is, including the diaspora. It reminds me of one of my old, yeah, there's going to be just a part of this show from now on that's going to reference 90s movies.
I'm with that.
So one of my favorite ones is Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Philadelphia. What a powerful, powerful
film. And it stands today.
Yes.
And I love that scene where that black secretary, legal mm-hmm. secretary, mm-hmm. I think she might have even been a full paralegal. She's on the stand and she's talking about how the white law firm partner told her because she had on earrings that were in the shape of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And he's remembered
that. Yes.
And he said, see, y'all, I'm going back to go forward.
Yep.
I'm going back to show you that the same shit that we have been subjugated to, whether it's 1800s, 1990s, is still happening today in 2023. And more of us got to put on dashikis and Yankee fitteds and kente cloth ball gowns. Mm-hmm. In all the spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But this woman's sitting on the stand in 1992 in this film, and she's got on her Africa earrings, and they're big, and they're made of wood, and they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, the white partner said, can you please not wear those anymore? We'd prefer you wear something more American. And then she said, they are American. They're African American. Come on now.
Boom.
Boom. Mic drop.
Now stay out of black people business.
That's it. Because this is literally our nation, at least as much, some could argue more so,
yeah,
than the white domination that we are purported to believe.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what it is. And I'll say this, Representative Hawk and those that think like him, if you are white in America today and you are not prepared to make the space for blackness in this nation, you will find yourself displaced.
Mm.
And we're seeing it, aren't we?
Every day. Ebony, you said that shit, okay?
And you know everything I meant when I said
displaced.
It. Displaced. Looking for a job, a check, a platform.
Let that sit.
Yeah, really sit with that one, y'all, because I said a lot there. Okay, with that, I think we can go ahead and move on.
Yeah, yep. Okay. That's it. That's all we need to do with that.
With that particular anecdote. Okay. Cautionary tale time, y'all. Dustin ends this show, each and every episode, with a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin, tell the people the mandate.
Read your terms and your MFing conditions, please.
And he's not saying that for his health.
No.
He's saying that because y'all really need to read the terms and conditions and the fine print. This poor young woman, her name is Christian Demerit. And she didn't got a demerit now. I'm sorry. You know I'm stupid. Christian, Miss Christian Demerit was, this was after she earned her theater degree from Florida A&A University. Not to be confused with A&M.
Different.
Different. I looked it up to confirm because I didn't want no rattlers mad at me. You know how they be acting.
They don't fuck around about
at
that.
All.
You're talking about pride.
Listen, I don't want Will Packer in my DMs.
Okay.
Okay.
Not for that.
Not for.
Okay.
Well, I do. Let me rephrase it.
Not for that. You know
Brother
what I'm saying?
Brother Packer.
Yes.
Please DM me. They're open.
Okay.
For collaborations.
That's right.
All right. Miss Christian Demary is taking her headshots like a good thespian.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 years later, is getting people DMing her, reaching out like, hey, sis, I think I just saw you on a breast reduction campaign ad. Yo, sis, is this you on the front of this novel? And when I say novel, please know it is an erotic novel. Dustin and I both looked at the photo. It's giving Fabio, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of those. The title is His Big, and B-I-G is all capital. Nasty. Childhood sweetheart. And it's an Afro romance book. That's the publishing company. They're called Afro Romance Books. And please know, y'all, that His Big, B-I-G capital, Childhood Sweetheart is a series of books all centered on interracial relationships. So this cover, I would implore you to Google this. So
you have
can
to
see,
see
it for
it
yourself. Because this woman, they got her up here with this Photoshop would-be Fabio type of shirtless white man it's just not giving. It's a mess. It looks real wild.
Yes.
But this is all legal. I'm going to tell you why. As the Afro Romance book rep told USA Today when they went digging, the authors of the books don't get to create their covers. The Afro Romance book publishing company creates them. And they use stock image photos, which is very common, Dustin Ross, in this business, to do so.
Yeah.
And what Miss Demerit didn't know, which is why she got that demerit, is that you actually do not own your image once you photograph with a professional photographer. Mm-hmm. That image is, now you can own some rights to distribute, you know, and that's why you got to cite your source. But the images themselves, Dustin, and of course we know this because we have been in this business a long time.
Yep.
Those rights are owned by the photographer.
Straight out.
That's it.
Yep.
The photographer owns the image. Period. That's it.
And they can do whatever they want with it.
They can do
whatever,
they can sell it to whoever they want. They can do whatever they want. Now, what you can try to negotiate, because I've done this historically, is buying the full rights and use of the photos. But that's going to cost you. That's not your $350 session fee.
No.
At all. That's not your $50 session fee. That's not even your $1,000 session fee. That is a whole separate usage and rights negotiation. So that's what Dustin means when he says read the fine print. If this young lady had read, because every photographer is going to make you sign what? A release.
A release, yeah.
And at the bottom of that release, you're saying that you understand that. You're saying that you are consenting to that. And in fact, if you refuse to consent to that, trust and believe your picture will not be taken that day. Period.
You know, I hate that this happened to this young lady, but people need to stop being, and I'm not saying that she was a lazy thinker, right? But people are very lazy, Ebony. They just don't want to read. How many times do you see people—
Can you please say it again? They don't want to read.
They just don't. How many times do you see people in the comment section, which is hell to me, but how many times do you see— Right. You see people saying, well, I ain't reading all that.
Literally,
I'm not reading all that.
Can somebody send me the Cliff Notes? Cliff Notes going to have you fucked up.
Like, read.
Cliff Notes are going to have you fucked up.
Read.
You better read. Also, even if you you need to read, first and foremost. And you know what you need to read? You need to read Bet on Black.
The
good news about being Black in America today. And if you don't want to read, or in addition to your reading, know your history. Know your history. Mr. Merritt would have known exactly what she signed up for if she knew the legendary story of the Vanessa Williams. Vanessa Williams, the first Black woman to ever be crowned Miss America, was stripped of her crown and title as Miss America, all because she didn't read the terms, nor the conditions, nor the fine print. Vanessa, like many young people, took some photos trying to pay a couple bills while she was in school.
Yeah.
Some of those photos were a little,
you know, racy, risque.
Risque. You know, a little top off situation, a little girl on girl action situation. I've seen them. You've seen them?
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, Vanessa did not realize that when she took those photos, they were the property of the photographer. So obviously, when she becomes Miss America,
they're like, oh, I got—
he's going to cash out. And he did. And he sold them to Penthouse Magazine. They were published in Penthouse, and Miss America organization ultimately stripped Vanessa's title due to the publishing and said it was like a moral violation.
Yeah.
Now, they had to eat cake, and eventually, I think it was literally just like 4 years ago, right before the pandemic, Vanessa was welcomed back to the Miss America stage and literally recrowned.
Yeah.
And retitled. Now, I know. I can tell by your energy.
Because you already know, keep it. Like, after all this shit y'all done put her through in years of, you know how that really—
blackballed.
Yes.
All of it.
It was a big, big deal for her.
It was awful. It was, I guess for a little Black girl who also grew up in pageants, for me, it was really, like, devastating. That's why I'll never forget it. You know, some of y'all probably haven't thought about this in a month of Sundays. It is germane to my perspective on photos, ownership, protect your image, control your image.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so paramount. It's literally because of Vanessa Williams.
Yeah. Wow. Some things you just never forget.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Can't afford to forget it.
Yeah. Literally can't afford
it. Literally can't afford to forget it. So, Ms. Demerit, I wish you would have thought about good sis Vanessa Williams. Maybe it escaped you. But that's another reason why, you know, I know I'm old and country, but I do spend a lot of time going back to the culture's history.
Mm-hmm.
But for this reason, there's a lot of lessons in the history of our culture.
Tons. That's where all of the lessons are.
I don't need to relearn this shit.
Yep.
You know, if Vanessa crawled so the rest of us could walk and run.
Yes, she did.
You know? So why are we going and making the same mistakes now? Yeah. It's silly. It's unnecessary.
Speaking of black movies, it's just like Sophia said in The Color Purple, don't trade places with me, Miss Seeley. Okay?
Don't trade places with me, Miss Seeley.
Don't.
That's it.
You got to learn from that.
You
got
to learn from that. So to me, it is a cautionary tale. It's extra unnecessary because mm-hmm. we saw what happened with Vanessa and we know why it happened with Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this generation of parents, you need to share these stories.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes. People need to know that this is a possibility in the world.
Yes.
There are so many stories that are being brought up connected to like legal issues with photography.
Yeah.
Look at what Cardi B just went through.
Totally.
You know what I mean? With the guy's tattoo on the back.
I remember that.
On the front of that cover. So you just have to be careful with really being specific in the language.
Yes.
In these deals that these people are doing, especially now that everybody wants to be photographed.
Everybody wants to be photographed. Everybody wants. And another thing is social media. Once you put the image on social media, you no longer own it. People
right.
don't know that.
Yeah.
You are literally gifting the platform with your imagery.
Yep.
So just know that, y'all. This is, at this point, it's kind of basic.
And now that I think about it, remember those paparazzi photographers where it's like setting the celebrities up mm-hmm. and suing them for
right.
posting the pictures that they took of them or whatever.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Which is essentially a form of entrapment, but
yes.
it's legal.
Yep.
You know, so you guys have to really read the fine print, like Dustin says. Read your terms, read your conditions, and manage your imagery.
And quit taking pictures. Some of y'all don't need to.
Some of y'all
be
don't even need to be in front. Let me not. But yeah, that I really do feel bad for this young lady. Just because
it's a horrible position.
It's a horrible position. Like I cringe.
Yeah.
You know. And listen, not for nothing. When I was in LA, which was like 2010 through 14,
mm-hmm.
you know, I paid a lot of bills with print modeling and stock photography. Let me be very clear. So I'm not going to be surprised when Auntie E pops
you see,
up
yeah.
in a breast reduction ad.
Hey.
You know, there was a while there, I did an ad for a bridal company. I'll show you after we wrap the show. And that ad to this day, Dustin, I think they are still using that ad. I'm in a bridal gown, and but it's for the men's tuxedo. So I'm with
okay.
this very handsome
mm-hmm.
black man, and we, you know, but it is like, so everybody that I know that got married in the last 10 to 15 years has seen that, because when you go get your tux,
yeah,
it's the
there.
Image.
Wow. That's kind of cool. I mean,
yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
You know, I was, it was giving.
Hey, you know what I'm
and
saying?
And I certainly cashed that check.
How about that?
Several times over.
And took care of yourself
and paid
with that.
All the bills.
Okay.
So yeah, but I understood it. The
mm-hmm.
point is that's the difference. Is I understood when I sit for this session, y'all can do with these images what you want. If that image, that same beautiful image, was used in a divorce ad, I can't say shit.
Nope.
You know, I can see it right now. How it started.
How it is.
How it.
Hilarious. Ebony.
So that's it, y'all. Just read your terms and read your conditions. Don't end up like Mr. Merritt. I think that's it for today.
Really?
I think so.
Well, we've told enough today. We've told them enough.
Yeah.
Lots of nuggets and jewels in today's
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, lots of nuggets, lots of jewelry. Go
mm-hmm.
back and look at the history of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some things we don't need to relearn.
Yeah. History's not a bad thing.
It's
you know?
A beautiful. I love it.
That's
why, going back to the book just for one second, you know, you'll see in the book I go back to go forward a lot,
mm-hmm.
whether it's Douglas, whether it's James Baldwin,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the doll test,
mm-hmm,
I talk about in chapter 2, the doll mm-hmm. test, if you're not familiar, is a test that stands to the test of time today, much to my heartbreak and devastation, where all children, including black children, when given the option of what doll they want to play with, pick the white doll. They pick the white doll. Why do they pick the white doll? Well, they pick the white doll because they have received the messaging from a society in a broader culture. Sometimes that culture is even in their own home.
For sure.
I'm
going to
say that part again. Sometimes that culture, Dustin, is in their own home.
Yeah.
That reiterates a narrative that the white doll is the pretty doll. The white doll is the good doll. The white doll is the smart doll, is the well-behaved doll. And the black doll is bad. She's ugly. She's mischievous. She's fast,
mm-hmm.
hypersexual.
Mm-hmm. That is so wild to me.
Yeah. That test was done over 40 years ago, and it stands today. Because it's redone. You know, mm-hmm. Social scientist Dustin do the test often,
mm-hmm.
and the needle has hardly moved, if at all.
I saw a video, I think we talked about this offline, but there was a video where a grandmother was holding a baby. She was a Dominican grandmother mm-hmm. with a darker skin complexion.
Mm-hmm. Afro-Latina.
Yep. And she was holding her granddaughter and telling her, like, this is the good dial to get. This nice and pretty, like telling her not to get. And she was joking, but she was serious as well.
Yeah.
It just, that's really persistent and prevalent.
It's very
today.
Prevalent.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you who wasn't about that life. Gloria J. Woods.
She wasn't about
if
that.
If I looked like I was reaching for.
Yeah. You get that black dial.
And not even the light skin one.
Okay. The black. The blackest one dial available. You can get. That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's important for kids.
It's critically important. It's critically important. And I was in L.A. on a book tour stop. But I have been at a bus stop before.
Okay.
Let's be clear. Many a cold morning.
Okay. Trying to figure it
to
out.
To get my education.
And taking that mega bus as That's, well to D.C.
You know what? I'm so glad you bought the mega bus. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking as I was, you know, in my first class seat on my last flight to D.C. But I was thinking about how good God is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was, when I first moved to New York, baby.
Yep.
It wasn't nothing to hike all the way to that far west side.
Far west. What's That's that? Between 10th and 11th? Yeah. And get on that. It's time to get on the bus.
Get on the bus. And hurry the fuck up.
Yep.
And that line be from here yonder.
Yep.
And barely have the $55 or whatever it was
barely.
To get in it.
Yep.
And so God is good. I
Very
just
want to
say
good.
That. And I want to say.
You better testify.
Process.
Up in here.
Yes. That is why I have a whole chapter in the book, y'all, about process. Y'all mm-hmm. see Dustin and I, Dustin on the gram looking like a fucking superstar in an off-white fucking jacket that I thought was from the high school. But don't worry about that. Okay. Okay. You know what I mean? And y'all see the drip now.
Yeah. Now.
But please know that we have and we are still in our process.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is above
The process.
Process.
Yep, never. You're never above the process.
And the minute you start thinking you are,
you will be reminded harshly.
Quickly.
Yep.
Devastatingly.
Yeah. I'm very principled, you know, mm-hmm. in that way.
Oh, I know it. And that's why you're continued to be blessed.
Thank you, Ebony.
And you're flourishing.
Gratitude is important. And
it
you
is.
Also have to recognize your journey. Like you need to, that needs to be very, very real for you.
Absolutely.
That you recognize the difference in the way life is now.
And how
versus,
you get to
yeah.
move. And not
And
ever,
why it's different.
And not and and why it's different because you put that work in. And I just want to end it with this. It's on an average of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just an average of 10 years. T. Cooper, mm-hmm. you know, my glam.
Shout out to T. Cooper.
Shout out to T. Cooper. When I were just saying this, you know, it is, yeah, now T is leading teams at Fashion Week.
Mm-hmm.
Now T is doing glam on Tiffany Haddish mm-hmm. and Angelica Ross and all
Ebony
the greats.
Ebony K. Williams.
And, oh, yeah, Ebony K. Williams.
And Ebony K. Williams.
my color.
okay.
But this is literally year 10
mm-hmm.
of her transitioning to this aspect mm-hmm. of the business in terms of makeup and hair after years as a tailor in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just now, we are just now NAACP Image Award nominated
yeah.
talent.
Yeah.
10 years in the game on just this part
yeah.
of the broadcasting career. So, y'all, I say that to really encourage you. Wherever you are, whatever industry you in, it don't have to be media. I don't care if you're in finance, economics, education. I don't care if you lay in brick or tile.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in your process.
You preaching a word today, Ebony.
That's it. If you want to hear more of that word, go ahead and get that Audible.
Okay.
A bet on black.
The good news about being black in America today.
With that, we're going to end it, y'all. Thank you so
Sorry.
Much staying with us. Court will be back in session next week.
Yep.
You know how we do. In the meantime, stay safe. Keep the faith. And I'm going to let him say it slow this time. Dustin, what do you want the people to do?
I want you to read, especially if you've been taking pictures. I want you to read your terms and read your conditions, please.
Thoroughly.
Yes.
That part. Holden Court is an Interval Presents original production from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media. Executive producer and host, Ebony K. Williams. Co-host and producer, Dustin Ross. From Interval Presents, executive producers, Alan Coy and Jay Kleinberg. Produced, of course, by Ashley J. Hobbs. Editing, sound design, and mix by Stephanie Morell. Original music by Epidemic Sound. Video editing by Kason Alexander and Courtney Deans. consultant Carla Wilmaris. Special thanks to operations lead Sarah Yu, business development lead Sheffy Ellen Swag, and marketing lead Samira Still.